This is the Riot Act Super 14 Rugby Review.
And good evening and welcome to the Riot Act Rugby Review podcast number 5. It is the 6th of March and it's been another hectic round of Super 14 Rugby. Guys, did we enjoy the round or do like Greg Crowden we think it's all boring?
I don't agree with him. I thought it was a great round, a couple of good games this weekend.
Is he just upset that Chris Whittaker's playing badly?
He might be.
Yeah.
Chris Whittaker's love child.
Yeah, or vice versa.
I just need to get the opportunity to see more games, so rather than just read about them, because they all are pretty much doom and gloom in the Sydney media.
Mm. Indeed. Okay, then, who have we got first?
Crusaders versus Blues. Crusaders up.
What was the score?
39-10 over the Blues.
This was a closer game than the scoreline suggested. It was a couple of late tries to the Crusaders. They ran away with it, wasn't it?
Two tries to Richie McCaw. Yeah. Won the last 4 minutes.
Yeah, it was a bit. The Blues were actually quite competitive.
Well, it was 10-0 at half-time or something, wasn't it?
No. Through
10-9, I believe.
Yeah, they were 10-0 halfway through the first half. And then three penalties by Dan Carter got them back in the game. It's also interesting to note it was a 3-1 penalty count to the Crusaders. So they were favoured by, I'm assuming it was a New Zealand referee in that regard.
Normally neutral these days, but anyway, moving on. Pretty much what it was expected after the early rounds, wasn't it?
I don't know. I think given the intensity of this game and it's a traditional rivalry between those two teams in the same way that the Tars, Queensland, gets a huge build-up in Australia every year, that the Blues, Crusaders gets a similar kind of rap in New Zealand. And I think a lot of New Zealanders would have been expecting a closer result than the scoreline eventually showed. And, you know, the first half was certainly going that way. There was a lot of sort of really passionate play.
Doug Hallett stepped to the fore again. Quick try.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they were evenly matched in the first half. And I think the Blues just lost intensity, and that's something they're going to have to...
Do you think they lost a bit of heart after getting players sin bin for minor infringements?
That's something I'd like to talk about a bit later because it happened in a number of games and the standard of refereeing has been pretty inconsistent, probably reflecting Greg Crowden's bitch on Rugby Heaven in the Sydney Morning Herald this week.
Why? Monday
but,
Mall.
You know, I think there must be something going wrong with the Blues camp because they just don't have the intensity for a full 80 minutes. And we said in one of our early podcasts that if a team can't play a full 80 minutes of rugby, forget it. You're not going to see finals football.
Yep. Okay.
Well, Blues are sitting right down, I think, third from the bottom still.
Yeah, on the other hand, considering they have the Cats and the Force beneath them, they're pretty safe from Northern Spurn, I'd say. Who's next?
I think Crusaders were just unlucky to get a bonus point, but I'm quite glad they didn't.
Unlucky not to, you mean?
Yes. Okay, next game was Highlanders over the Stormers. Highlanders 30 points versus Stormers 15. Played in Cape Town.
Another Highlanders are looking good, aren't they?
They are looking very strong. They've got a nicely balanced team this season. And players like Celia Mapasua, who's stepped into the inside centre position this year, is really making a lot of line breaks for them and setting up good position for their outside guys. Kine Kinlau, you know, is really made a name for himself this season and is really pressing for All Black selection.
And there's another three-barreled long name with Sibibutu or
something. Sibibatu. You know, they're blessed with some incredible outside backs, and their forward pack has made a real, set up a really strong platform for those outside backs.
So the forward pack's performed to expectations, but the back line has performed far above our pre-season expectations.
So do we believe that they've actually got the mix of cranky South Island farmers to good island backs pretty much right at the moment?
They're doing well. To be fair, I'm just having a look at who they've played up till now. They haven't played, I mean, apart from the Crusaders in the opening round, which they went down, they've had pretty easy games, or what you'd now consider to be easy games against teams that haven't been performing this season so far. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see that if they continue that form this weekend going in against the Bulls and perhaps against the Brumbies and Tars later in the season against some of those top-placed teams, whether they can maintain that form, but certainly against the lower-placed teams, as the season unfolds, that they're, they're really putting them away.
With the Stormers, where do you think they're going to go in the from this game, and where to next?
They're really looking like bottom four finishers now, aren't they?
I'd say probably a bit higher than that, but they just seem to be pressuring a lot of teams, but they just didn't seem to pick up in this game.
The Stormers have been a real disappointment this season.
They had a good first game.
I think the expectation, particularly in South Africa, if you read any of their press, is that they expected to do a lot better than they are, and they're just not performing, whether that's something with their coaching this season or, you know, who knows. We're not exposed to that as much as we might be to an Australian team. But, they're certainly not performing to their potential.
And the upset of the round, the Cheetahs over the Hurricanes. Cheetahs 27, Hurricanes 25.
Absolute cliffhanger of the game.
It was a real cracker. The Canes got away with it in the first half, and the Cheetahs were really struggling to hold on. They had some great set plays, and they threatened the Hurricanes line a few times in the first half, but the Hurricanes' defence held up as it has in previous weeks, and they were doing quite well, and you sort of felt for the Cheetahs that they couldn't quite get over. But second half, I don't know what happened. I made a couple of substitutions, and the Cheetahs came out with all guns blazing, and the Hurricanes just lost heart. And from there on in, it was a brilliant game to watch.
Turner's leg must have had some bearing.
I think losing Soialo, of course, with that suspension before the game, and losing Tana early on in the first half meant they didn't have a great deal of experience and leadership on the field.
And Nonu getting sin-binned.
Yeah, that didn't sort of have too much impact in the first half. But I think really the lack of a strong leader on the pitch meant that the Hurricanes couldn't regroup when the Crusaders got a run on. Sorry, the Hurricanes got a run on.
Cheetahs.
Cheetahs got a run on.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll get them in a sec.
Yeah.
So the Cheetahs going to be, are they picking up from the season from this point on, or is this just a one-off for them?
They've showed promise already. Yeah. I think the other thing is that they have beaten here a team that was looking like real grand final contenders. Sure, it was a home win, but a win is a win against a really top team, and there's plenty of other teams, so-called top teams in the comp right now, who haven't played top-grade competition yet. Certainly the Cheetahs are looking better than the Cats and possibly the Stormers, I'd say.
I think so, definitely. They've got a good mix of players. They performed well and been unlucky. You know, someone like the Reds, they've played really well and just haven't been able to convert when they needed to. And this is a game where they did. I think they'll take heart from that and try and move on.
Strange for the draw, but the Cheetahs haven't actually played outside South Africa yet, so we'll see how they travel next week when they...
But at least ending the road with a win under their belts.
Mm. Yeah, I think that'll be positive for them, and then they'll take a bit of heart and hopefully play much better once they're on the road.
Sorry, it doesn't look like they go for a couple more weeks still in South Africa, but looks like they're going to have a long tour.
Yeah, I think all the South African teams this season have long tours. The Sharks are in the middle of a 6-week tour at the moment, coming down to Canberra next weekend.
Yeah. That's it for the non-Australian games. Okay then, we'll break for song and be back in just a second.
to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever films, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset.
That was 50-foot Frankenstein by the Black Math Experiment. First Australian game, Chiefs versus Reds. Chiefs got up 35-17. Poor old Reds.
Yeah, this one was a thrashing though, wasn't it? It wasn't like the other ones.
No, it wasn't. Chiefs had too many guns.
Yeah.
And Reds just not enough in the tank.
How'd my mate John A. Gibbs go?
He's really made something, driving the Chiefs forward and improved their performance no end. Yep. Really give them stability in the pack, a much better line-out option, and general round-the-park ability is really, really good.
Is there any hope for the Reds?
Yeah.
Is there anything happening for them that's going to...
They've played their match of the season. They always build their season around the Waratahs game. They played it, they've lost.
Well, now they're going downhill from there.
Yeah. I think, when Ben Tien and Elton Flatley are your great hopes, there's not.
Well, I think they're trying to rush Ben Tien back into the outside centre position for this weekend's game against the Force.
Yeah. The Force has got to, they've got to be in with a chance against the Force.
Oh, you think so?
And the other one they're trying to rush back in is Matt Cobain in case.
That's just because they're running out of players.
These are all yesterday's names, and not just yesterday's names. We're talking about yesteryear's names. And you've really got to wonder what they've been doing with their youth development, don't you?
Oh, no, they've got some good young players there.
Mm. Apart from Drew
Mitchell.
Balance Sheet Mitchell.
Stephen Moore, Hugh McMenamin.
Yeah.
Are all playing. Yeah.
Really, and Rodney Blakes.
Rodney Blakes is performing exceptionally well,
yeah.
For such a big guy to be able to play 80 minutes of football for 5 weeks now,
yeah.
He's doing well. They just can't convert, and I watched.
And they've got some serious injury worries at the moment as well.
Yeah, I watched their games. And I was thinking, what's going on? Why can't they convert? Their on-field performance into a win, and it's just sort of eluding them at the moment. I think once they get one under their belt, they'll regain some confidence.
They've always finished seasons well. They've never been good starters.
Well, it's okay, but you've got to start at some point.
Yeah.
We're heading into
week five. Yeah. Week five, I'll be coming up.
Now, the Chiefs, are they going to be the quiet achievers for the New Zealand teams and maybe sneak into the four at the end of the round? Or
The Chiefs have always been one of those teams that have performed.
Chiefs have played a few semi-finals.
Yeah, haven't really, really fancied as one of the flashier New Zealand teams, like the Highlanders, Crusaders, Hurricanes and Blues. But they've but they've always done really well, and they're showing their potential again. Their back three again last weekend cut the Reds apart and did really well. So I actually kind of fancy them against the Crusaders this weekend.
It'll be an interesting game,
but the Reds just didn't have enough guns. Mm. They're missing.
Did they fall apart in the last 20 minutes again? We thought they were inching towards an 80-minute game before.
If they'd had Berrick Barnes on the pitch.
Mm. What's the word on Berrick's injury? When's he expected back?
I haven't heard, but I think if they'd had him on the pitch, they would have had a much better performance for 80 minutes and would have put up a game of it.
Mm.
Flatley's not the kind of player that takes the ball to the line. He's a bit like, his goal kicking is exceptional, no question, but
yep.
He's not, you need to score tries to win matches.
Okay, then.
The Pansies.
And that's shown by, if you look at the top four teams at the moment, strange enough, they're the teams that are scoring tries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pansies, 31 over the Sharks, 16. Bugger the Pansies. Now, it looks like they've won again.
Yep. I don't know what possessed me to tip the Sharks. I honestly can't recall what was
flashing
through my head.
For me, it was just dislike of those Waratahs players.
Well, the Sharks had a good performance against the Crusaders last week and could have.
That's true.
And if they'd produced a similar performance against the Tars, they probably would have done a lot better. We weren't expecting, when we gave our tips last week, we didn't know that Vickerman would be back in the squad or Matt Rogers, and both were instrumental
very
in the
good. Win. They hoiked Chris Whittaker.
Yeah, Whittaker hasn't been performing. He's a bit of a Matt Henjack this season. He hasn't been doing much at all.
Mm. In fact, if the Sydney Press was to be believed, the two top halves in the country were Whittaker and Henjack, and they're sitting in 3 and 4 and hard to tell apart at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. I haven't been doing much.
Actually, sorry, to go back a step, how was Henjack against the Chiefs?
Had a bye.
Oh, of course, had a bye.
Yes.
Same so, same his Gordon. Performance was pretty... It was better than it has been all season.
Yeah, better than most of his games.
So, yeah, sorry. Like the rest of the season, it was fairly non-existent.
Right.
But, yeah, Rogers coming on really lifted the Waratahs, and, you know, I think within one touch of the ball, he'd made a line break.
That was a bit of an emotional homecoming for him as well, and I think that the team supposedly felt that.
Yeah, they will. Wycliffe Parlo got a start this week, and did himself no harm.
Will Pie Boy Dunning make it onto the field next week, or will he be a bench warmer?
My reading of McKenzie's comments in the media was that he's had more than enough of Dunning, and if he's got any sort of alternative, he's going to take it.
I would see Ben Dunning on the bench. Ben Robinson, who's been coming off the bench for the Tars, has been playing very, very well and setting up good, strong set piece play.
Mm. And he's much less likely to punch his friends.
Or kick field goals.
Goals. When they need tries. Yes.
And the important game of the round for us, the Brumbies over the Cats. Brumbies up 28-7 over the Cats. Well, great first half. 25 points.
Great first 30 minutes. Let's limit it to that.
Yeah.
But more than enough to win the game. It was a 30 minutes so good that even the appalling play that followed didn't matter.
Couldn't squeeze out a bonus point in it.
That bonus point's going to come back and bite us.
I think it will.
Yeah, it might do.
Just because it was so there. I mean, it was a point that should have been had.
The thing that surprised me, and you know, being at the ground, and you hear people, you know, the amount of boos when Sterling was taking points options.
Especially when we were 22-0 up, though. That was a point where another try really was.
I think he was just trying to, you know, ram it home and say, screw you, you've got to score four times or now, you know, four competitive tries to win the game.
Yeah.
And I could understand his reasoning in doing that and thought, you know, with 50 minutes of rugby to go,
we're going to get another try anyway.
Given this performance so far, it's going to be a 50-point win. And it just wasn't that.
Mm. But I think if he's making that assumption, then go for the try now has got to be the way forward.
I think so. They'll
strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah, I think they'll change their thinking between now and next week.
They're probably not going to be 28 you know, points two, ahead of anyone.
Yeah, but two games in a row where you know the Brumbies have played really well, and you know you can tell their back line is really starting to fire like it was several years ago, and not being able to convert. Because of we're taking the wrong, you know, Brumbies are taking the wrong options. I think Fisher's going to be saying, "Well, look, let's just take the points when they're on offer." You know, take the bonus point when Boggan really put the pressure on and make them pay. You know, the Cats got lucky to come away with a try.
Yeah, the Cats were unbelievably bad. I mean, what was it? Five kicks out of
six.
Six kicks out in the full. I mean, I shouted out at one point, you know, we're paying to see you, jokes.
Yeah.
It was a very disappointing performance, but they were very lucky to pick up that try. Just pass went begging and just a 90-metre try.
As I said, I think the Brumbies were disappointed that they didn't close that game out. Yeah, 28 points in the first 30 minutes. That's fairly closed out
25,
already.
25, but yeah.
25 points. Yeah. But they really should have put the points on, I think, in the last...
At least got that bonus point.
Yeah, the Cats have never won in Canberra. Actually in the last three visits to Canberra, they put on more... You know, Brumbies have put on more than 60 points on them.
What do we think actually happened? Was it just nervousness?
Cats did play a lot better. Their defence really stepped up in the second half, and they kept the Brumbies out. You know, Brumbies could have made a couple of times.
Fisher's tactical subbing, I think he subbed too early when the bonus point was there to be had.
Yeah, I probably would have gone for the bonus point first, but... And give the guys a run, and you know, the lesson of last year where we had so many injuries and you want to get people game time, that might be weighing on his mind to say, well, I've got to get these guys game time. Mm. While we're 28 points up, let's give them some.
Mm.
You know, and they'll probably still get over the line eventually. Mm. The thing that I've noticed with the Brumbies is they're pushing a lot of passes. You know, Tawaki is making some great ground from number 8.
But he played much better this week than
he did last week. He's also dropping a lot of ball.
Yeah, he's dropping a lot of ball. This week he held on to it a few more.
You know, they're either pushing it a little hard. And I've noticed that on all the top teams.
Yeah, but you get that. The bottom you make the opportunities by pushing the envelope.
And all the top guy, all the top teams, they're pushing the envelope. The Crusaders, they're flicking that, they're releasing in the, you know, getting the pass away in the tackle.
Mm. Well, getting the ball away in the tackle is incredible.
Brumbies are doing it. Waratahs are doing it. Hurricanes are doing it. Mm-hmm. Chiefs and Highlanders are being able to do it as well.
Yeah.
All these teams are in the, you know.
And you're going to drop some ball doing it. Yeah. That's life.
But you look at, I mean, the handling error statistic for the Brumbies is a bit high, and I think Fisher will try and work on that over the coming weeks.
Fair enough then.
Any hope for the Cats as they continue their tour?
No. No, I can't see them winning a game before they go home. Unless it's against the Force. I don't think they're playing the Force.
Yep. No, I think the Cats, as on Keo they were saying, Decat is cack.
They're up against the Tars and then the Crusaders before they go home.
Yeah.
Oh, well, sorry. And the Highlanders as well. Yeah, they're in real trouble. They're not going to win a game before round 9.
Yeah. Okay, then. Shall we go to a song?
Let's do it.
Was All Blue Baby by the Muffs.
And so we move on to our general discussion section, which this week we're going to talk about the referees and all the yellow cards they like to give.
They are.
Yeah. This is a real issue, I think, and teams are finding this very difficult to understand which way it's going.
Mm.
Early on in the season, some of the commentary that was coming out during games, they were talking about the referees that had this sort of general directive about how they were going to be refereeing games for the Super 14. And you could see, immediately see what the referees were doing. They were saying, you know, at the breakdown, you know, were very strict about coming in from the side and coming in, you know, through the gate, as they say. The advantage rule, if you kicked the ball for field position, that was advantage over. Or if you had more than a couple of passes in trying to take the advantage, that would be advantage over. But the thing I'm seeing is that that's not the case, and there's wild consistency from game to game.
I think a big problem's got to be the use of the yellow card. If they're going to, as they have been, and as we all seem to agree is a good idea, be making major use of the citing procedure and people getting suspensions after the game for things that they weren't called up on during the game, then surely they need to start going a little easier on the yellow cards during the game.
Yeah, I mean, one that happened in the Cheetahs-Hurricanes game on the weekend, Bevan Fortein, the Cheetahs fullback, was pulled up for a high tackle. And the thing that gets me is that there was a similar tackle in the second half, and I think it resulted in a penalty. And the inconsistency, you know, particularly in a close game, is the difference between winning or losing. And, a chance at a finals position and everything that goes with that, you know, all the sponsorship and everything that goes with that is really, quite a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
This particular incident where Fortein, you know, it wasn't a malicious high tackle. He took the guy high because it was a bit of a reflective kind of thing. Said, yeah, my fault, I took him high, I've tried to cradle him to the ground as best I can.
Mm.
Lucky he wasn't injured at all.
Yeah.
You know, so the game could have continued.
Which should have some bearing, shouldn't it?
It shouldn't. It's not like they had to make a substitution.
Mm.
You know, so it didn't really impact the Hurricanes at all. Mm. But, you know, he's off the pitch for 10 minutes.
Mm.
And that inconsistency, I think, is you know, can really make or break the whole game, and in some cases, ruin the game for, you know, a bunch of spectators.
Mm.
Two send-offs during the Crusaders Blues game, both from the Blues team. Again, first one was just for killing the ball, I think it was, and the last one.
Yeah, that was odd, I thought, because it was more, that should have been a penalty rather than a send-off.
Yeah, I can understand when it comes after repeated infringements, and you say, right, if you guys kept doing that, I warned you, you know, you're disadvantaging the team, you know, the attacking team, in this case the Crusaders, but again, that one came with little or no warning from the referee to say, this kind of play won't be tolerated. It wasn't even in a position where the Crusaders were threatening the Blues line. And yet, straight away, send-off. And, you know, as a result, the Crusaders sort of end up with 20 points over the Blues.
Mm.
I think we can...
In what could have been, quite a close contest.
Mm.
I think the Brumbies are a bit lucky that we haven't had anybody sent off yet, I believe.
I'm sure Larkham should have been sent off.
For his little punch.
In the Cats game for his little punch.
Yeah, it wasn't on camera.
Yeah.
The ref didn't see it, so it's okay. It's okay. But I mean, those sorts of things, okay, you expect a bit of niggle. To me, the yellow card should be used to punish a team for repeated infringements, and like, the team should be warned first.
Mm.
Okay? Or it should be used for professional fouls.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, there's some sort of, there appears to be some sort of malice.
Like, and foul play should get the red?
Certain deliberate foul play, you know, stomping.
Or repeated.
Perhaps a second infringement on a yellow card, where you say, right, you know, you've been warned, you've spent some time in the bin, red card, you're off.
Mm.
But the sort of inconsistency in using a yellow card, in fact, all of the advantage play and rules the way the referees are playing at the moment, is, I don't know, baffling me. And
the way they're,
I'm only an observer, you know, the guys on the pitch must be really struggling.
And the way they're always calling the ball back from, if anybody wants to take the quick kick to themselves and keep on running, they say, no, you weren't standing exactly on the spot where I blew the whistle. That happened three times in the Brumbies game.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of the quick tap as a tactic to begin with.
And well, that's the player's choice, though. Yeah, it's not up to the ref to say, well, you were 2 centimetres off the spot.
If it was 2 centimetres, but certainly the Brumbies one I particularly noticed, I did think we were a mile off the mark.
Now, we're talking a metre and a half?
Oh, yeah, 5 or 6 metres.
And that's kind of a funny thing. That's one of those, you know, it comes very similar to the advantage, where the team taking the tap has effectively got the advantage play, but they get no advantage from it.
Yeah.
You know, where do you draw the line? You know, if it's half a metre off the mark, you know, you see guys who say you've got to take the penalty, you know, the kick from there, you kick for touch from there, and all of a sudden they sort of, you see them all, they, you know, scuff the ground and say, this is where I'm going to kick from. And then they take a couple of paces afterward before they boot the ball into touch.
Yeah.
You know.
On the other hand, they don't get to move the penalty kick, you know, a few metres in.
Well, no, they don't. You know, you've got to get a bit of consistency. You're not scoring points from these activities. You know, you're kicking for touch to try and gain ground, or you're trying to catch your opponents. I can understand if you took five paces down the pitch towards your opponent's try line, and then took a quick tap and say, well, sorry, guys, you're all offside.
Yeah. I think,
you know, we're not talking about that sort of thing here.
Maybe the laws need modifying again to create some latitude for
those areas, taps. I think, do need latitude. In other areas, you're fine. You know,
some things might need tidying up. I'd like to see them pull back for those penalty overruns.
Is that a bit of controversy, wouldn't it? Sorry. You haven't done that there.
I think it could benefit the game. Okay, we're going to break for a song, and we'll be back with our tips for the week.
Yeah.
That was Dinosaurs in the City by the Touch-Ups. This week's tips. Well, quick recap of last week. Timbo stormed to the front with taking out all games. Katina got 5. And John and I were the lazy boys at the back with 3 and 2. 2 to John, 3 to myself. Which leaves the points on Timbo, all alone on 20. Myself on 16. John and Katina both sitting back on 15.
Kind of funny that you've been watching rugby for, you know, 10 years plus, and Katina's beginner's luck.
Yeah.
Equaling you. Yeah. Well, having never actually watched a full game of rugby before last weekend.
Yeah, it's No, she watched one the first game of the season.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh yes, of course.
Yeah. But my point of getting her involved was that people who don't actually know much about the game tend to make better tipsters than people who know a bit about the game.
Okay.
And
Katina has rules, though.
Yeah, I think. And she sticks to them.
Form and injuries.
Yeah. Well, we think we read things in the game that we're just kidding ourselves about. But yes. Anyway, the week ahead. What have we got?
First up, Chiefs versus Crusaders. Now this is going to be the game of the round, I think.
Yeah, and I still think the Crusaders are going to win it, though.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs at home.
Same. I'm also going to go with the Chiefs. Katina has gone for the Crusaders.
She's breaking 2 of her rules there. Yeah. She's tipping the away team.
But it is the Crusaders.
Yeah, but the Chiefs won at home, mate. Mm. Chiefs coming off a win. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm talking Chiefs. They got a good chance of upsetting the Crusaders.
Specials,
yeah. I think it's specials. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're going to put a special this weekend.
Okay.
I'm going to try and make up some points, and this is going to be my round of
change. Richie McCord.
Unfortunately, Tim's also tipped them, so I'm not going to be catching up points on him.
True, but you can extend your lead over the back markers.
I can indeed.
It's equally important.
Tars versus the Cats. Okay, even I'm going to tip the Tars this week.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to, but I'm going to.
No. Yeah, Tars.
Tars.
And Katina's going the Tars.
She's not stupid.
Yeah, I think the Tars will close them out the way the Brumbies couldn't.
Wait, you're talking 50 points.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Brumbies versus the Sharks. This could be a close one, I think.
Nah.
I'm still tipping the Brumbies. But
if we see 40 point scoreline, I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Yeah, I Brumbies as well for me.
And Katana's also going
the Sharks. Sharks are too inconsistent. They could put in a good performance, but the Brumbies are too strong at home.
Mm. Yep.
Now, Battle of the Titans from the bottom. The Reds versus the Force in Brisbane.
This will be a fun game to watch, I reckon.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Comedy of errors.
Yep.
Force coming off a bye. They'd be rested. They would have perhaps learnt from their mistakes and had a good 2
Maybe
weeks
they've got, even got some players in to fill some positions.
Yeah, Digby coming back this week.
I'm going to tip the Force.
John's going the Force. I'm going the Reds.
I reckon the Reds' ability to lose a game is greater than the Force's ability to lose a game.
Win.
No, well, I think the Force ability to win.
I think the Reds' ability to win a game is slightly better than the Force, so I'm going to go with the Reds.
Mm-hmm. All right, another split round, because Tina's going the Force. Mm. Bulls versus the Highlanders, up at Pretoria.
Oh, it's going to be a cool one.
This is going to be a great game.
Mm. Clash of the Titans and the Bulls.
Two big packs smashing out at altitude. Do we think the altitude's going to have any effect on the Highlanders?
Well, the Highlanders don't actually come from any significant highlands, so...
No.
That's not going to help. Well, I mean, if the Brumbies can win at Loftus, then the Highlanders can win at Loftus. But I think the Highlanders have been pushing their luck, and I think the Bulls are coming into form, so I'm going to tip them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bulls as well. Coming off a break, Victor Matfield's back, and we're wide. I've also... Real challenge against the Highlanders pack, who has gained ascendancy to date, but I don't think against the Bulls.
I've also picked the Bulls, and Katina's going the Highlanders, seeing how they go. Last round of the match is the Stormers over the Hurricanes. Well,
that's in Cape Town.
That's in Cape Town. Can the Hurricanes pick up their game from last week, or can the Stormers do anything?
Now, Tana's out, isn't he?
Tana is likely to be out. We don't know. Obviously, very early days of the week, but I suspect he'll probably be out. And with Conrad Smith still injured, they might lack a bit of midfield punch. I believe Rodney Soeialo should be back this week, but who knows? It's only Monday.
Against this, we have to contend with the immense suck factor of the Stormers.
Yeah, the disappointing factor. Who knows? I mean, they've got all the players. They should be able to turn it on, and they're going to do it. They'll probably do it against someone like the Crusaders.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be nice.
I still can't go past the Hurricanes on this one. Stormers haven't been performing for me.
I'll tip the Stormers.
Well, Katina's gone the Hurricanes, I've gone the Stormers, and John's going the Stormers as well.
Yep. No, I think that I think the loss to the Cheetahs is more indicative of Hurricane weakness rather than Cheetah strength. And I think the Stormers are a better side than the Cheetahs, so that's where I'm going.
I'll hold that to you when the Stormers play the Cheetahs.
Yes, all right. We'll see how we go. All right. We'll see where we're at by then.
Thank you for listening to the Riot Act Rugby Podcast.
Review Podcast.
On the 6th of March.